Good morning, everybody. I would like to praise and thank God for this opportunity, what God has given me to expound God's word to you. I greet all the saints in Christ Jesus, that grace and peace from God our Father and from Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Today I am going to speak to you from the book of John and chapter 17, as you heard what Pastor was reading today. And the title of my message, what I have chosen, is The Word of God is Truth. I was reading about a great evangelist who lived 1901 to 1944. He lived only 43 years. He was a brilliant son of a Chinese Methodist minister. John was in the United States to learn all he could about the science. He was a very brilliant man, and he finished his Bachelor of Science degree, his Master of Science and PhD in 5 years. But always in his mind, this verse was ringing. What does it profit a man if he gain the whole world but lose his own soul? So he entered into the Union Theological Seminary. That brought him to the crisis of his life. Union had abandoned many clear teachings of Scripture and substituted modern theology, idea that God is dead, and Bible criticism in their place. John began to doubt everything that he had been taught while growing up. This troubled him, and he prayed and studied the Bible looking for answers. Suddenly one night, his soul was transformed. He began to weep and to shout for joy. He raised to tell teachers and fellow students. The next thing he knew, he was locked in an insane asylum. In the eyes of the spiritually dead school authorities, his behavior indicated that he had gone mad. John was allowed to take only his Bible and pen to the cell with him. In 193 days, he read the Bible cover to cover 40 times. He later said that that was his real theological training. After his release, John returned to China. On the ship, he threw overboard all his diplomas, certificates, and awards. From that moment on, his life was dedicated to winning souls. After meeting, people listened to John and repented. He preached for only 15 years. But in that time, he led hundreds and thousands of people to Christ. The secret of his success was hours of prayer. Every morning he rose up early to pray 2 to 3 hours. People said he prayed as if Christ were an intimate friend in the room with him. John died in August 18, 1944. He was only 43 years old. I have selected this testimony because of his knowledge in the Word of God, how he dedicated his time to reading of God's Word. In 6 months, 40 times. It is very hard work. How many times we are reading our Bible in 1 year? Even I heard a preaching from John MacArthur. He was telling, after his seminary, he dedicated his time to reading Bible cover to cover. And he told that is what made him what he is. Today we are going to look at John chapter 17, and the title of my message is "The Word of God is Truth." Because without the truth, you cannot advance in your life. And this prayer of Jesus in in John chapter 17, verse 17, Jesus told that Word of God is truth. Before going to the topic, let us look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we praise you for who you are. You are the almighty, eternal, and ever-loving Father in heaven. We come before your throne of grace, asking the forgiveness of many known and unknown sins. We pray that you will wash us with your precious blood and help us not to do those sins again and again, but help us to live a life holier than the day before. As we are opening your word, you illumine our heart and mind that we will receive your word with conviction and apply them in our daily life. I pray that you will anoint the preaching of your word and fill me with your spirit, that this message will be able to be delivered with clarity and simplicity, and it will fulfill the purpose which you have intended. Lord, I thank you for all the hearers. Lord, I pray that you will remove all the distractions from our mind, that we will hear from you. Lord, even though it is my voice, I pray that we will hear from you, and we will respond to your call. Lord, I pray for your blessing on your word, and you be glorified and honored. Thank you for hearing this prayer. In the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. One of my favorite prayers in the Bible is John chapter 17. I still remember the day when I read this long time back, and it gripped me so much that I read it again and again. This is the priestly prayer of Jesus Christ. Through this prayer, we can learn many theological truths about our eternity, our justification and glorification. This is the prayer what he made before he is going to Gethsemane. I thank the Lord for helping me to meditate on this passage, that I can bring this to you. What is prayer? When I looked at the dictionary, it says it is a spiritual communion with God, as in adoration, thanksgiving, confession, or supplication. When we pray, that is a spiritual communion with God. This prayer is the most detailed and longest prayer of Jesus recorded in the Bible. Even though Jesus prayed all night, and many times he went away from the disciples to pray alone, it is not recorded like this. Jesus was a man of prayer. This is one of the most intimate time he had with his Father. Jesus was 100% man, and he was 100% God. He spent a lot of time with the Father in prayer. What is our prayer life? Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. I would like to challenge each and everyone to check your prayer life. How many hours you are praying. Sorry. It is our prayer that this church will be a praying church for the praise and glory of God. Can you all open your Bibles to John chapter 17, please? Hope all of you have your Bibles with you, or else it will be very difficult to follow through the sermon. I have divided this chapter into 6 sections. As I was preparing this sermon, what I found is that Bible interprets scripture. So we are going to look through some of the scriptures. First section is John chapter 17, verse 1 to 5. This is Jesus praying for himself, for God's glory. I will read verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. When Jesus has spoken these words, what words? When I looked at the previous chapters, I found that Jesus was preparing his disciples for his death. In John chapter 12, verse 23 to 25, it says, And Jesus answered them, The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Jesus is talking to them about his coming death. In chapter 13, Jesus is washing his disciples' feet. In chapter 14, Jesus is talking about going to prepare a place for his children, that where he is, there they may be also. In chapter 15, he is speaking about the vine and the branches. If the branches are not in the vine, they cannot bear fruit. And in chapter 16, verse 16, Jesus told, A little while, and you will see me no longer, and again a little while, you will see me. And in John 16, verse 32 to 33, Jesus told his disciples, Behold, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Jesus was preparing his disciples for his death and resurrection. So after speaking these words, Jesus is lifting his eyes to heaven. In Psalm 121:1, it says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from where does my help come? And in Psalm 25:1, it says, To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. When we pray, we are lifting up our souls to heaven. And he said, Father, he is calling God as his Father. Jesus has a close and intimate relationship with the Father. How can a person have a close and intimate relationship with the Father? It is through the Spirit of God, who will illumine our eyes to see the Word of God. And as you read God's Word, you will know that you are a child of God. God always speaks to us through His Word. His Word is powerful. Galatians 4:6. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. When we confess our sin and believe in Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God will come into our heart. And He will teach wonderful truths out of God's Word. As you read this scripture, you will know that you are the child of God. In John chapter 1, verse 12 to 13, but all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. See, this verse clearly says that those who receive and believe in His name is born of God. And He gave that person the right to become the child of Him. And when I know that I am the child of God, I can call my God as my Father. When Jesus Christ taught His disciples in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, it says, when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. You are praying to your Father. When you are going to your room, shut the door and calling Abba Father is like going to the Holy of Holies and to be in the presence of Holy Father. Even Jesus Christ taught His disciples to pray, saying, Our Father who art in heaven. So when we pray, we can go and call our God, Abba, Father. Abba is an Aramaic word which can be translated very closely to daddy or my daddy. It is the personal intimacy. Jesus continued by saying in verse 1, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Actually, Jesus is praying for Himself. And here we can see He is telling, glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. In many songs, we usually sing to glorify God. And we pray we are glorifying God. I looked at the Greek word for glorify. It is doxazo. The meaning of it is magnify, honor, exalt. Jesus is about to undergo a lot of suffering and to take the sin of the world. He is going to be glorified by His obedience to the Father. He came to this world for finishing the work which His Father has given Him. He is going to have a tough time from now onwards. He knew exactly what He is going to suffer. Even His disciples are going to leave Him. the outspoken Peter is going to deny him 3 times. He is going to be alone. People are going to mock at him. They are going to crucify him. He is going to undergo great suffering. But he wants his daddy to be with him. John 16 verse 32. Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed it has come. When you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. He had the full confidence that God is going to be with him. He is asking his Father to glorify him, that his Father in heaven will be glorified through this. Now let us look at verse 2 and 3. Since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Jesus has the authority to give eternal life. What is eternal life? Here it says, it is to know our Father in heaven and to know that Jesus is the one whom God has sent for our redemption. Eternal life is explained in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God is the creator of heaven and earth and everything in it, including human beings. But this, what happened when God created them? He created them good. But man went after God. They sinned against God. They have fallen short of the glory of God. Because of sin, Bible says the wages of sin is death. We all have condemned for eternal punishment. But God has made a plan through the Lord Jesus Christ that we can have redemption through him. Jesus Christ died for our sins and he paid it completely on the cross of Calvary. The plan of God was, we have just celebrated Christmas. Jesus, he sent his son to born to Mary. He was born with Holy Spirit and he was conceived by the Holy Spirit and he lived a life, sinless life. He taught us the word from heaven. And end of his ministry, 3 years of his ministry, he died a cruel death on the cross of Calvary for you and me. So this is what he did in the cross for us. If we are accepting this finished work on the cross of Calvary, what Jesus Christ has done in the cross is yours. Until you do that, you are outside God's kingdom. When you receive Jesus Christ, knowing that he has paid the price for your sin, you will be saved. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says like this. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For salvation, we had to believe in our heart what Jesus Christ has done for us. And verse 10 says, for with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified. What is justification? When you believe in Jesus Christ with all of your heart, you are completely justified. All your sins, present, past, and future, are completely wiped out. Because Jesus Christ took that sin upon himself. And the righteousness of Jesus Christ is imputed to you. And your sins will be no more in the sight of God. It is completely erased. A truly born again believer is justified completely before the Almighty God. Because when God looks you, he looks through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is completely clean and he has taken your sin. He paid the price for your sin. So you are completely set free. And you are born again. And you have the eternity promised. Many times I battle with some Christians who are not having the assurance of salvation. When we read God's word, it is crystal clear. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. I urge everyone who is hearing this sermon to examine your heart and surrender your life truly to Jesus Christ. Then you will have eternal life. And you will be justified for eternity. Again, I will repeat John 3:16. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whoever believes in Jesus Christ will not perish, but they have everlasting life. Now we will continue John chapter 17, verse 3. Verse 4 and 5. I glorify you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. These verses shows that Jesus is God. Jesus was with God before the world existed. He was with God from the beginning. He came to glorify God by proclaiming the gospel and accomplished the work of God, what he had given to him. He was the sacrificial lamb who is taking the sin of the world. He is surrendering himself to God. So he is asking God to glorify him, that God's name be glorified. Jesus knew the suffering which he has to undergo. He knew that the people around him will not be glorifying him, but accusing and mocking at him. So he prayed to God to glorify him. He do not need the glory from the people, but definitely he knew that his Father is with him because he is going to be obedient even to his death. His strength is coming from his daddy. When we are going through problems, do we have this assurance that your God is with you? Jesus interceded in this prayer for you and me. That is the next portion, what we can see. That is section 2. After praying for himself, now he started praying for his disciples. Verse 6 to 10. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them, and have come to know the truth, that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. In this section, Jesus is not praying for the whole world, but only for his elect. There are some people who think that since Jesus Christ died for the whole world, all will go to heaven. But this prayer of Jesus is very clear that not all will go to heaven, but only the elect will go to heaven. Jesus is very specific on this. Look at verse 9. It says that he is not praying for the world, but for those whom God has given him. Those who kept the words of Jesus. In verse 6, it says, they have kept your word. The last word, it's saying, they have kept your word. And in verse 7, everything that you have given me is from you. They knew, these people knew that everything that have given to Jesus is from the Father. In verse 8, they believed that Jesus came from the Father, and they believed that God had sent him to them, and he is glorified in them. In verse 10, dear friends, this is to check ourselves that whether we are the disciples of Jesus Christ or we are the chosen one or not. There are 5 points given here. First is, they have kept your word. How we can keep his word? We have to read, we have to understand what God is telling to us. Without that, we don't have the knowledge of God. We have to be in the word. See, I read the testimony of Dr. Johnson. What happened to him was he was looking for the truth, and he went and searched the scriptures. He read the Bible cover to cover, and his eyes was opened. The Holy Spirit illumined his understanding. He was able to understand the truth. And when you know the truth will set you free. You will keep God's word. And when you read God's word, you will know that Jesus Christ is from God. And what he has given is the word of God. And you will receive the word of God. And you will obey that. And in this portion, Jesus Christ is praying for all those people who will receive his word. Then you will be saved. Some friends of mine who claim to be Christians, sometimes they say that they are not reading God's word. I always question their faith. If you are a Christian, how you cannot read God's word? Because this is very important in our life, to meditate on God's word, to have the understanding of God's word. So if there is anybody in our midst who is not reading regularly God's word, I urge you, brother, I urge you, sister, to have this commitment to the Lord. And please read God's word every day. Be strengthened. Be illumined by the word of God, that you will be a good testimony for the Lord. Otherwise, you will doubt your faith. You will not be sure of your faith. You cannot be a good testimony for others if you are not sure of what you are believing in. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to illumine our understanding, to give the real understanding what you are believing in. The Holy Spirit will teach you wondrous truth out of God's word. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 5 says like this: examine yourselves whether you be in faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not that your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. In order to examine yourselves, you need to know the word of God. You have to study the word of God. You have to spend time. May the Lord bless you as you read God's word. Now we will go to section 3. It is from 11 to 16. I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Jesus is interceding for his disciples. In verse 11, Jesus is saying that these people of his are living in this world, that is, in a sinful world. He knew that our God is holy, pure, righteous. He is pleading to God to keep them and unite them as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All of his disciples are united except one, that is Judas, who was the son of destruction. And he prayed in verse 13 that their joy may be complete. We can see from history that these disciples took the cross and followed Jesus joyfully. Jesus prayed for his disciples who are hated by others. They were undergoing problems in this world because of believing in Jesus. Jesus knew this. He himself went through the suffering. Jesus knows all our troubles. Because he was there in this world, he has gone through all the troubles. Even now, Jesus is interceding in the right hand of God for you and me. Jesus is praying for his children. He is very close to you when you are going through troubles in your lives. And please be assured, Jesus is with you. Our life on this earth is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Let us go to the next section, section 4, John chapter 17, verse 17 to 19. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you send me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. Now Jesus is praying for the sanctification of the saints. There are three stages in Christian walk. First is salvation, knowing Jesus Christ and receiving Him. And at that time, you are justified. The second is sanctification. And the third is glorification. The origin of this word is from the Latin sanctus, which means holy, consecrate. The suffix of T-I-O-N in sanctification is the ongoing process of becoming holy. This is the process. Sanctification is the process till one person dies from being born again. The word sanctification means to set apart for God's use. It also means to purify or make holy. The aim of that person after he is born again is to be like Lord Jesus Christ, getting out of the sin nature one by one, day by day, to live a holy life. How can we do this? Jesus is saying here to sanctify us with the word of God. As we read and meditate on God's word, we will be convicted of our sin. And we will be sinning less and less by the days go by. This prayer Jesus prayed not only for his disciples at that time, but to all those who believe in him throughout the ages. Are you getting sanctified by the word of God daily? Are you spending time, quality time in the word? Are you getting convicted of your sin? If you are getting convicted, you have to get rid of your sins one by one. Let us go to the next section, section 5, 17, verse 20 to 23. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Our Lord prayed for the saints that they be like-minded. The doctrines what Jesus taught is the basis of Christianity. If you believe these things, there will be unity among believers. See, here we can see many background, the people. All of us are joined here because of Christ, the unity in Christ. We have to love each other because of Jesus Christ. And we go to the section 6. Verse 24 to 26. This is the climax of the priestly prayer of Jesus. Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you. And these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Jesus is praying that it is his desire that whoever believes in him will be there with him. In John chapter 14, verse 1 to 3. Jesus Christ is telling to his disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself. That where I am, you may be also." This is the greatest hope of a Christian, to be with the Lord forever and ever. This is actually called glorification. Jesus is transforming us to a glorified body to live with him forever and ever in a sinless state. Glorification is the ultimate perfection of the believers. It is the work of God. Our body will be changed in a twinkling of an eye, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, putting on glorified body to be with the Lord forever. This is the eternal life to live with Christ. What a glorious hope this is. This is why Apostle Paul was saying in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 18, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by the word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and then who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. I would like to go back to John chapter 17, verse 4. Jesus is saying, I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. Jesus has finished his work, what was given to him, completely, 100%. Apostle Paul also was able to say in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought a good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. My question is, will we be able to say like them, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith, and I am waiting for the reward? May the Lord help all of us to strive for this, that one day he will say to us, just like in Matthew 25 verse 21, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. You know, this is what we have to get from the Lord ultimately. Whether we will be able to stand in front of God and to receive that great reward. If we profess, we as Christians, are we serving the Lord? Or are we engaged with the worldly problems, world troubles, and we are going away from the Lord? If we are going away from the Lord, our reward in heaven will be less. When we are going from this world, we will not be able to say, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. May the Lord bless each and every one of you, be able to stand before our God, and will be able to say that, well done, good and faithful servant. Thank you.